Good morning, church. It's good to be with you today. It's good to be here in a soggy September morning. It feels like fall. I was driving back from Baltimore yesterday across through Adams County through the orchards, and it's just starting to feel like fall and a beautiful time of year. So we haven't experienced that for many years. We've been away, and so it's good to come home. I can identify with what our sister was saying this morning about being displaced and going through that season of what is God doing and separation and just the emotional pain and things like that. But I believe God is bringing us out through that, and God's doing some amazing things. We're excited to share with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Rich, for inviting us. Thank you for just being faithful. Cornerstone, you guys have just been so great to us as partners in your support. Your church supports us monthly, and many other missionaries as well. And it's because of your faithful support we can do what God is asking us to do. And I don't need to tell you, I know you guys know we need to have ministry going on in all fronts, locally, nationally, and internationally. And that's what's so great when I'm with a church like you, because you guys get it and you understand that. It's not always just about us. It's not always just about the others, but it's a balance of that. And so thank you, church. Thank you for your blessing on our family. Thank you for how you've just been there, not only financially, but with prayer support. We thank you for that. It's great to see the Ukrainian flag today. I'm not sure who crawled up there and put that there. God bless that person. So, but we're happy to see it. So I was with you many years ago before we left to go to Ukraine. I apologize. I should introduce my wife. My wife Amy is here. She always likes to get up and speak, but I always hog the platform, so she'll sit there and quietly enjoy it. We have five children, two adult children that are out of the house, and then we have three children that were with us through the course of events there in Ukraine. But we left you around, I think we saw you maybe the summer of 2017, approximately. And we left to go to Ukraine in June of 2018. And Ukraine is just a lovely, beautiful place, but not without a very tragic history, not without a very difficult past. It's always been a country that people have kind of fought over and fought against, whether it be the Mongols or the Poles and the Lithuanians, and even in recent times now, the Soviet Union and Russia. But in 1991, Ukraine became independent and was able to stand on its own and became its own sovereign nation. Ukraine is what the area had always been called, and it became country with the capital city of Kyiv. And it was then in 2018, we went and arrived in Kyiv. We have some pictures I want to show you, bring you up to speed to tell you a little bit about where we've been and what we've been doing. So you can put that, yeah, praise God. So we arrived in Kyiv, and you know, what you need to understand is Kyiv, Ukraine is Europe. It's a European country, okay? It's in the continent of Europe. And so Ukraine has a lot of beautiful architecture. We have this, we call this the Steel Mama, okay? She's maybe like Our Lady Liberty, but the Steel Mama is there in Kyiv. And you can show the next one. But we're dotted throughout the countryside of churches like this. This is an Orthodox church. I would say about 60 to 70% of the Ukrainians are Orthodox in their faith. And then probably 25% are Catholic, and just a small minority, about 3 or 4%, are evangelical believers like you and me. And it's an interesting place, because even though we're quite small, we have a big, big voice at the table, and we really do a lot within the country itself. And so the evangelical church is quite strong in Ukraine. Let's go to the next one. And beautiful architecture, like this is the Opera House. I think this is in Lviv, I believe. And it's a country that we learned to love and to work and to grow. And so when you sent us there, we went to work and did what God had called us to do. You see, maybe some of you may remember, but let me remind you, I grew up in Carlisle, okay? I've not been a lifelong missionary. For most of my adult life, I was a business owner. I was a plumbing contractor in Carlisle. Yeah, a plumbing contractor. But here's the interesting thing I want you to understand, take away from the service, if nothing else, this morning. God has a place for you to do ministry, okay? If you're a plumber, be a Christian ministry. Share the gospel. If you're a teacher, share the gospel. If you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're a consultant, God uses you in those roles. And God will shift and transition that at times as well and call you to different things. And so we had spent many years developing our business there, and then we felt God's call to go and use our skill, our humble understanding of business and of entrepreneurship, and use it to change the nations. And so that's what our focus had been when we sold our business and went into world missions in 2012. We started to do missions, but with an emphasis on business. Well, Ron, how does that work? Let me give you an example. If you flip to the next slide. So we went to Ukraine. Yeah, this is our family that was in Ukraine. This is our oldest son with us is Josiah. He's a senior this year at high school. Our second son is Samuel. He's 15, and then Hannah is 12. And they're doing great, and this morning they're attending our local church there. But so we went to do ministry in Ukraine. You flip to the next one. And how do we do business ministry? Well, in various countries we've served, we did it differently. But in Ukraine, we went with the understanding to stand alongside business people to help them be better Christians, and Christians to help them to be better business people. So some people, you know, some brothers and sisters, they were quite strong in business. They had good businesses, but they didn't see the connection. They said, this is what I do Monday through Friday. This is what I do on Sunday. This is, you know, when I serve God, I give money to the church. When I serve God, I do it through the church. Don't tell me, how do I do that in my business? But so we worked alongside a lot of business owners in integrating that and saying, hey, God put you in that position. Put you in that position in society, in the world, for people you can reach that pastor's never going to reach. They're never going to come into your church, right? But also we worked alongside young believers like David who wanted to be entrepreneurial. This is a very typical example. David is a very small farmer, maybe about 10 or 15 acres, in the village of Yemchiln. And Yemchiln's about 2 hours north of Kiev. And one of the things about village life is it's very difficult. It's very challenging to live in the village. Most people don't want the village. Infrastructure is terrible. The economy is awful. Alcoholism and drugs are rampant. It's just a bad place. So people leave the village. They go to the big city. But God loves the villagers. God wants people. He loves people. And so David said, you know, I'm active, involved in my church. I'm the youth leader for my church, and I love the youth of our village, a small village of 6,000 or 7,000 people. But I can't stay here in Yemchiln. I can't feed my family. I can't support myself. I don't know, you know, I want to serve God. I want to do what God's calling me, but how do I do that? So David attended our business school. We set up Kingdom Business School. And Kingdom Business School in Ukraine was a three-level Christian entrepreneurship training. And so David came through all those different levels. This is one of our business conferences we had, and the people that were there, and some of these are some of our students, and some of these are some of our mentoring business people. But David came, and he went through all the levels, and he said, Ron, he said, when he graduated, we had like a Shark Tank event. You guys know Shark Tank. They come and, you know, we grill them on their business plan. And so we because of the faithful support of churches here in the U.S., we had an investment fund, And David came to me with his plan, and it looked good. He said, we want to buy a combine harvester because nobody in our village has a mechanical combine harvester. We have to call in people from outside the village. If I have one, I can harvest my crops, and then I can go around to our other areas, and they can hire out my services. So I said, great. I said, let's do it. I think, you know, and he goes, if we do this, I can make money. I can stay in the village. I can continue to minister to the youth. So we did that. And David, he excelled. He is a hard worker, dedicated. One thing that just sets apart Ukrainians, and I think it says a lot about them, it was March, and he said, give me the loan and I'll pay you back in October. And I said, David, this is like $8,000. I said, this is a business loan. We usually take 2 or 3 years to pay this off. I said, what do you mean you're going to pay me off in October? He said, Ron, everything I do this year is going to be for you. It's going to be to repay that loan. He goes, all summer long, I'm going to work my tail off. And at the end of the summer, all that money I'm going to give to you. And at the end of the summer, you're going to be free and clear, and I'm going to have a harvester. And I said, well, okay, that's an interesting concept. That's pretty aggressive. But that's exactly what he did. And at the end of October last year, he came to me and paid off that harvester. And so now he has this nice, beautiful piece of equipment in the village. He's able to harvest his crops. He's able also to go around and harvest other people. And because of that, we have strong spiritual leadership in the church. So that's how we use business in these countries. Now, side note, David came to me again this year in March. He said, Ron, I have this idea to expand my business. Now, this was after the war started. I said, David, come on. I mean, we don't give business loans into a war zone. What are you talking about? He said, Ron, I can rent another 40 acres of ground. And he said, everything is going well. He goes, yes, the bombs are dropping, but people still need to eat. We still need to grow. He goes, I'm a farmer. I plant and hope and for the greater future. And I said, well, David, you've proven yourself to me. I can trust you emphatically. And so we did. We sent him a couple $1,000s on a new investment loan. Every couple weeks, and even now, he just sent me some great, if you want to see him, I can show you some great videos of the harvest they're having. They had a great growing summer, and he's really pulling in a great harvest. And God is able to just expand his territory, expand his influence. And I know without a doubt, in the next couple weeks here, he's going to come back and pay that loan off, without a doubt. So God is good. And this is what really gets me excited. Now, for some of you, you're like, oh, business ain't my thing. That's okay. Maybe education's your thing. Maybe nursing's your thing. What I'm trying to say is God will use what you're good at to expand the kingdom. I don't know nursing. My wife's a nurse. I can't even put a Band-Aid on my cut, If I cut my finger, I gotta lay flat in the ground. She'll tell you, I pass out, okay? Right? So you don't want me on medical missions trips, right? But God will use what you make available to him. So we were happy working. You can flip to the next slide. And enjoying life, had beautiful friendships. This was last summer with friends. We lived a very common life like we have here in Pennsylvania. Sunday after church, we'd go to the restaurant for lunch. It was a very modern, normal situation. And that's why the tragedy of what's going on is just so much harder to accept. Because life was good there. Things were strong there. And it all changed on the 24th of February. But for us, it was January 29th. For us, 2 days before that, we got the word that we had to evacuate. The tensions had gotten so strong that it was time for us to go. And let me tell you, they don't train you to be for evacuation. They don't train you like, how do you do that or prepare for that in missionary school? Physically, it's like incredibly exhausting. To try to assemble what all you got within 24 to 48 hours and get out of the country after you've lived in the house for 4 years. Emotionally, it's even worse. you know, you come back, you sent me, okay? You sent me as a representative of Jesus Christ to Ukraine, and now I'm coming back with my tail between my legs, feeling defeated. Everything that we set up, everything that we grew, everything that God had done, all of a sudden, we had to step away. For the safety of my wife and our children, we had to go. And I said, God, I don't understand. I just, you know, this uncomfortableness, it was a difficult time. And we went to the airport, we drive into the airport, and my wife's telling me the whole time, she's like, it ain't gonna happen. Russia's not coming in. These bombs are not gonna drop. Look, there's McDonald's, there's Papa John's. I mean, this is normal. But it did. Three and a half weeks later, on February 24th, the invasion began. And our neighborhood began to look like this, with barricades. You can show the next one. People streaming to get to safety. You can show the next one. People trying to find any way they could get away from the bombs to safer areas. And the next one. The churches that were so beautiful began to be destroyed. And just, you can hold it here for now. This was actually taken from our house, our rented house, which was not bombed, but this is how close our bombs had got. A friend of mine took his picture from the window beside us, and our children's school was right there where the orange stripe is. And instantly, my life changed. I'm sitting at home in Carlisle. In fact, we were transitioning to a new home on the 24th of February. We were carrying boxes and moving into a new home. A day I'm supposed to be excited to have. We were moving out of a one-bedroom apartment we had been in for 3 or 4 weeks and actually getting into a home. It should have been a happy day. It was not a happy day. My phone kept ringing. My messages kept popping up. And my life changed dramatically on the 24th of February. You know, I love coming to your church. I knew coming to the church this morning I was going to have good coffee. And I love to start out my morning with just good black coffee. I don't sugar, cream, no. I just take it black. And if you're a coffee snob, which I am not, I'll drink motor oil. It doesn't matter to me. If it's black, I'll drink it. But some people that are coffee snobs, I mean, come to Europe. We've got great, great coffee. Great coffee. And every day, I always started my morning off with black coffee. But now, my mornings don't start that way. My mornings start, I roll over in bed and I grab my phone and I begin to look at all the messages because they're 6 to 7 hours ahead of us. And messages coming in immediately, Ron, can you help get us to a safe location? Ron, can you connect me with the pastor in this village? Ron, we need medicine. Ron, this widow is in these children are in a difficult spot. And I went from really focused on myself and how much pain I was feeling to, I've got to act. We've got to go into action. So we quickly did step into action. And God began to do some incredible things. Life began to change because I went from being missionary or business missionary to relief worker and began to get messages like this. Sometimes they were written, sometimes there were audio messages like this.
Hello, thank you for your praying. Could you pray please for my everyday that in order that I could understand what I should do in everyday for wisdom from God? And in order to have no fear at all, and also I ask you to pray for the president, for the government, Ukrainian government, for the safety, unity, and also wisdom, how they should act. Also for the army, for big cities, Kyiv, Sumy, Chernihiv, Zaporizhia, Kherson, Odessa, and also for smaller ones. And I know also it's hard situation in Zaporizhia region, where my relatives are also now, and pray for protection from God.
And so all day long, really from morning until night, 16 or 18 hours a day, I'm talking to donors, I'm talking to people on the ground in Ukraine, I'm talking to the refugees at the borders, I'm talking and sending funds. And you know, what's really neat, what I thought God had did with our ministry in Ukraine was set up this great business school and grow, invest into people like David, which we did. But all of a sudden, I realized, as somebody in the business world, I now had a network of connections from border to border across Ukraine. Through political leaders, through business leaders, I had financial connections, and I began to understand how to connect people and get money to people as quickly as possible. You know, we used to wire money, and sometimes that would take 3-4 days, if you're lucky, a day. Because of the systems we used, I was sending money and putting it in the hands of Ukrainians in less than 5 minutes from my bank account here in Harrisburg, right into their hands, and able to provide instant relief. And I think, wow, you know, God, you really, you had a whole nother alternative, you know, other than what I was doing. You were setting this all in place so that we could minister effectively. And it was hard days, some days filled with tears. But you know, it's okay. For those that sow in tears are going to reap with joy. And this morning, we may have a few tears to realize the pain and the suffering people are going through. Just pause that 1 second. At the borders, when the crisis first erupted, at the borders and at the train stations, you may remember families were being torn apart. You see, men were not allowed to leave the country, because if you're a man, you were staying and fighting. But women and children were being pushed to safety and rushed out of the country. In this video, we see a tragic situation that happened in a quite normal country where they were going to McDonald's one day, and the next day, this is what they'd experience. Never ask. They never did a thing to incite the devastation that was put upon them. But God, in His great mercy, began to do some amazing things. Rich, if you could please start to get me set up here. And one of my very good partners in ministry and business ministry there was Andre Barracuda. If you could show the next slide. Andre, his wife, and two children live in Kharkiv. He's going to join us here in just a minute or two. Kharkiv is about 25 miles from the Russian border. They're in the far east of Russia. And I'm writing to Andre. I said, Andre, you need to get out. You need to get to the west. You need to get away from the border. And Andre would write back. He said, I understand, Ronnie. He says, but my wife and I, we feel that we have a work to do here. We feel that people need to stay here. And so those that had a little bit of money, they had a car, or they had the finances, and so they took a train, or they drove, and they got to the west. And what was left in Kharkiv was the poor, the destitute, those that had nobody else to take care of them. 40% of the country left, or that region left, but those that remained were those that were of dire need. And Andre said, he's a builder. He builds homes. And he said, I've stopped building. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sell the houses I've already built. I don't even know if they're going to stand the bombs. But he said, there's people here, and we need to help them. And I said, Andre, let's do it. And so we immediately stepped into action. Andre is a great organizer. He has a great mind. And he began to go to work, and we set up a warehouse in Kharkiv. And he's going to join us from Kharkiv and give us an update. Now, some of you may know, if you've watched the news, we've seen in the last 3 or 4 days, there has been a great offensive in that region. And the Ukrainian troops have pushed back the Russians out of this area. So there's a lot of joy and jubilation in this area right now. And so God's doing some really neat things there for them. So it's always exciting to bring him in, but it is always a challenge, right? Because we got to do all these technological things and get things connected. But Andre, hey, Andre, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Hello.
Yeah, there you are. Hold on, we're going to turn the screen on.
Turn the lights out.
Just give us 1 second, my brother. Do you have some lights? There we go.
Yes.
Oh, good. Good to see you. Just 1 minute.
Me too.
Just one more minute.
Okay. Can I see people?
It's going to be a little difficult. You're going to have to look at my belly.
Okay.
Right here.
No problem.
Okay. Let's see. Is there a volume to turn it up a little bit?
Right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now,
all right.
Now they hand help turn it up.
Okay. Andre, say good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we can hear it. So we're
good
here.
Good morning, church.
Yeah, we're here in church close to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And these are great friends and partners of mine. We're telling them the story of Ukraine. So we're so excited to have you with us.
Very nice. I'm so happy to be with you guys.
Andre, why don't you introduce us to yourself and tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
When the war started, I decided to stay in Kharkiv with my family. I have 2 kids, and my youngest kid, born just before the war started, 2 weeks before the war started. And it was in our hearts to stay in Kharkiv and serve people and help people, because it was such a mess in that time. So many people get out from our city, Kharkiv, because, as you know from the news, it was pretty much destroyed. But God saved us this 6 months, and we started just to serve people from our church, and then we opened a warehouse, and from this warehouse we started to feed people and tell them about Jesus. And so for now, our churches, we counted how many help we give to people of our city, and for now our churches helped about 1 million people. To each person get a package of food, about 1 million, and we evacuated about 20,000 people from our city in this 6 months.
Yeah.
So until today, we're traveling around our area, place, and we're serving and praying with people for God and telling them about Jesus Christ. And in each city we have, or area or village, we have many people are waiting for us. In one village, we have 500 people. In different next village, we have 300 people or 150 people. So we have about 80 villages in our area that we serve and preach gospel.
Wow, wow, that's incredible. And Andre, I need to let the people here know, you're a good-looking guy, you have a lot of energy, but you went through some very dark days. I remember a few months ago when I'm sending you body armor because I was worried about your guys walking out. I remember when I wrote you one day and I asked for your wife's phone number because even though I can't speak Ukrainian and she can't speak English, I knew that you were in danger. And honestly, brother, you are a hero to me.
Praise God.
How you've served God and how you've ministered to people in the midst of this struggle, we are blessed to have you as a brother in Christ. Thank you.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I can say one thing, that if not God give strength and, you know, like brave heart, we would go out from here,
yeah,
just in the first days. But
yeah,
I think and I believe that it's not me, it's God who is acting inside of my heart and around my life and life of my family, because our kids, they are small. My son is 6 months old and my daughter is 3 years old, but they're, praise God, they are sleeping every night. They are not waking up because, yeah, of the missiles falling around our city. And if you know the news right now, that we're keep taking back our area,
yeah,
in our Ukraine,
yeah,
and we're just throwing out our enemy.
Yeah.
But they are so angry at us that they're bombing us and just in the day, in the night. But we are just in, we have peace inside of our hearts because we believe that God are saving us. Yeah. But honestly, God has his own plans, because we lost a few pastors in that yeah, time, in the time of war, and the missiles destroyed, enemy missiles destroyed our pastors, and who was serving in dangerous places, and that's so sad. But we just believe in God because it's our country, and we don't have another country.
Right.
So we believe that God will give our country, you know, a new breath and yeah, new beginning,
yeah,
and that's why we are here. And our hearts is sometimes they hurt our hearts, is, you know, like they hurt inside because, sure, we see how many people are not, they're not knowing the Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Andre, we want to pray for you. We're going to stand and pray with you this morning. Church.
Thank you, please.
Could you stand? This morning, we want to pray for Andre. We want to pray for Kharkiv. We want to pray for Ukraine. Let's reach out our hands and let's join in prayer. Father, we thank you, God, today that you are still king on the throne. You control our destinies. You control our life. You are sovereign. And God, thank you so much because of that, we can rely on you. We can have peace in you. We thank you for the peace that you've given Andre and his family and those that work long beside him. We thank you, God, for the dedication that you put within him. We thank you for the opportunities that he's having to introduce people to Christ and to minister hope to a hurting country and nation. We ask, God, that you would continue to walk and guide Andre, his wife, bless his children, watch over them with safety. I pray for his team of workers, God, as they go from village to village, Lord, would you protect them? Would you guard their steps? Tell them to go to the right or to the left. Give them a Holy Spirit sensitivity, God, that they can walk in perfect peace. And Father, we pray for your spirit of peace for Ukraine. We pray, God, that you would bring peace to this situation, that resolution would come and that the life would return back to these people. We pray for this blessed country and for these people in Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you very much, brother. I just have a couple words in my heart that I have to say. I want to say a special thank you, brother, that you're helping me, and that's really, really support. It's really big support of your prayers and the churches that are praying in America for us, for our family. We are feeling it, yeah. And it's very important for us. So God may bless you. And
thank you.
You know, in that time, you know, Bible said that your friend has to be not only in the good times, in the bad times too. Yeah. And through this time, past this time, I see who is my friend for real. Yes. Because we have really, really big problems around us. But we see who is supporting us and praying for us. And that's very important. And it always touches our hearts.
Amen.
So we are praying for you and blessing you every day. And we're not forgetting about the things that you did for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Have a good evening, and tell your wife and children we said hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Okay.
Say hello to your family, and God bless you, your time.
Thank you, brother.
In ministry.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I love getting opportunities to talk with Andre. I tell you, somebody that has such resilience, I have a lot of respect for him and his work that he's doing there. Let me show you some photos. So we set up this warehouse for Andre, and he began to feed. That's okay. He began to feed in the babushkas. Babushka is grandmother in Ukrainian, yeah? So we're feeding the babushkas. And next. At the early part of the war, as those that were fleeing, they couldn't get fuel. And so we were buying fuel by tank loads and providing fuel for cars to get away. And then, of course, food, you know. And Ukrainians are, like I said, they're resourceful. They'll use whatever they got. So we weren't so worried about wrapping the bread. We just wanted to get it to them. And so we stuff it full. And they might even have a loaf or two up beside the, you can go ahead, just keep the volume down. They might have a loaf or two of bread up beside the carburetor, I don't know. At the early part of the war, we would rent a bus and to take people from the east in Kharkiv, 20 miles from the border, to the west to get them to safety. So children and moms and older folks. You can skip ahead and skip. Okay, just keep it here. But the American church has responded tremendously. You have responded tremendously. People have stepped up to the plate. I will tell you what the Ukrainians would say. They would say, if it wouldn't be for the church in America, we couldn't do what we do. When things get rough, when things get terrible, we have always stood by and helped those that have been down and out. Whether it's Afghanistan, Iraq, whether it's, you know, in Cuba, in Latin America, and now in Ukraine. Can I speak to my fellow Americans?
Yeah.
You're great because you give. Because your heart is open. Because you don't know people thousands of miles away, but you can feel their pain, and you respond. And because of that, people see Jesus Christ in us. From an international perspective, America is a Christian country.
Yes.
When people around the world think of America, they think of Christian. Now, we could argue that point. But still, today, what do we do? What do we stand for? And we stand up with those that are suffering and those that are hurting. So thank you. Thank you. I love scripture that I want to share with you this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to read it from the Message because I like just the way this translation puts it. The scene is John the Baptist is in prison, and he probably begins to have doubts if Jesus is really the Messiah. And so he sends his disciples to John and says, John sends his disciples to Jesus, says, check this Jesus out, make sure he's really the Messiah. So here's how it goes. 11, verse 1. When Jesus finished placing this charge before his 12 disciples, he went on to teach and preach in their villages. John, meanwhile, had been locked up in prison. And when he got wind of what Jesus was doing, he sent his own disciples to ask, are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting? Jesus told him, go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. The wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. We're going to keep that slide up for a while. You know, it was predicted that the Messiah would come and bring the gospel to the poor. But the context in which this happened in those New Testament times is a little bit amazing. Jesus brought his testimony, and he bolstered his testimony as he brought it to the poor, to those that were the wretched of the earth. But at that point in time, the poor had always been overlooked. Pharisees didn't care so much about the poor. Philosophers and other religions didn't really care so much about the poor. There was no Salvation Army. There wasn't soup kitchens. People in New Testament times, they were poor because that's the way God left them, made them, were leaving them that way. And so there wasn't a lot of care. These people were the wretched. They were the outcast. But Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, I'm going to take the wretched of the earth and build my kingdom upon them. And today we get really excited, you know, if a celebrity or an athlete, if they come to Christ, we put them in the magazine, on TV, radios, and praise God, that's great. When somebody on that higher, the top rungs of life, praise God. But don't forget, friends, Jesus was also concerned about those that were on the bottom rung of that ladder. The poor, the destitute. And church, today Ukraine lies at the bottom rung of that ladder. When we think of the wretched of the earth, Ukraine is almost like a poster child for wretchedness. Throughout centuries of time, Ukraine has been overrun, has been pushed around by the different empires around it. The Ukraine, the word itself means borderland, which really implies that it's people coming across, back and forth across the border and raining terror. And for most of the 20th century, Ukraine has been the little brother of Russia. And today, we see Ukraine in that wretchedness. We see millions that have fled the country. Literally, I think around 4 to 5 million refugees have went in Europe. The greatest refugee crisis of Europe since World War II. We've seen additionally 2 to 3 million people just displaced with inside the country, moving from one side to the other. Poverty, homelessness, hunger, war. Ukraine is the wretched of the earth. But when Jesus gave his testimony, when he began to give this response, he says, go tell John my credentials. And in my mind's eye, Jesus starts small and builds a crescendo. He said, tell John the blind see. Tell him the lame are walking. Tell him the lepers are cleansed. And guess what? The deaf hear. And the dead are coming back to life. Now, if I was Jesus, it'd be game over. That'd be the top of my list. If one of you bring the dead back to life this morning, you got my attention, okay? I'm all ears. You can't outdo that. But that wasn't the top of Jesus' list. That wasn't the most important thing to Jesus. That wasn't the most valuable thing to Jesus. what was most important to him, what was at the top of the list, better than all the healings, better than all the deliverances, was that the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side, that the gospel of Jesus Christ gets to every man, woman, and child. And friends, today that is our sole responsibility. We are given that great commission. God had looked upon this earth when he took his son back to heaven and he said, you know what, I'm going to put it in your hands. And let me tell you, there's a lot of mornings I wake up and I'm thinking, God, I'm not worthy. God, I didn't have so many good thoughts. God, maybe I didn't say the right thing yesterday. But God said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you in your failures. I'm going to use you in your inconsistencies. I'm going to still use you because you are the best hope of the gospel getting to people. And I love it when people are healed, when miracles are taking place, when the blind see and the lame are walking, the demon-possessed are set free. Great. That is awesome. But more important to that, more important than any of that, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ gets to every man, woman, and child. And that is why I love our churches, because most of our churches, like yours, they get that, okay? It's not just about these four walls. It's not just about making us happy, but it's making sure that we fulfill the Great Commission, making sure that we do the duty that God has called us to do, to reach out to those that are suffering. And God is doing amazing things in Ukraine. I'm going to share a few things with you. You ain't going to see him on CNN. You ain't going to see him on Fox News. But the churches are getting full. This is Andre's church. Andre's church, about 4 months before the war started, they had just finished the upper level of the church. And I would say it's about half the size of your sanctuary. War started. He sent me a video. I'll show it to you in a minute. It was packed wall to wall in this little space. People are coming. Then, about 2 months ago, he sent me this picture. He said, Ron, you know, we built our church. You know there's a basement. I said, yeah. He goes, well, we've had to have overflow, and so now you see these dingy walls in the basement, but they had nowhere else to put them. So now the upper floor is packed out. The basements are packed out every day. You can show the next one. This is the church. People coming to Christ. And here's what's the great thing about it. The pastor of the church, he said, we're not going to hand out food on Sunday. He said, and there was a strategic reason. He said, we want people to come to church so they get the bread of life. We don't want them come just so we can feed them. We want them coming for the right reasons. And so these people are coming for the gospel. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, they're feeding them, okay? Sunday, they reserve for spiritual ministry. And people are coming to Christ. Next video. Next. Baptisms. Oh, man. Sunday afternoons, quite often, I get pictures like this. And now, this isn't an insane asylum, okay? It's not the hospital. This is Slavic tradition. They wear white for baptismals. And so on Pastor Benjamin on the far right, he's baptizing people. I just talked to him yesterday. Their church just started a second service. I said, what? He's like, our church has more than doubled in size in the last 6 months. Next video, next photo. Yeah, more baptisms. Go ahead. And then Chaplain Yuri on the far left, he's worked with soldiers for many years. And he continues, he said, you won't believe the ministry is taking place in the battlefield. Next, Peter. They stand along the river of the Dnieper River, and they get ready to be baptized. And they're getting baptized before the battle. God is revolutionizing these soldiers' lives. And so there are amazing things that are happening in amongst the tragedy. God is doing wonderful things, and a spiritual revolution and awakening is taking place. And so we say, more God, send us more souls, send us more people to come into your kingdom. Let them be afraid, let them get awake, right? And bring them into the church, bring them into people that can share the true gospel with them. And so we're excited that we see this happening. I want to share a short video with you, and then I'm going to come up and close. This last video I want to share, pause it there. When we evacuated Ukraine, all of the Assemblies of God missionaries left, except one. And that's who's in this video. His name's Gerald. He's our team leader. He kind of waited too long and got stuck. Got stuck in Kyiv. And so within a few weeks after the war started, this Zoom call was recorded, and they took some very good snippets out of it to encourage us as the church in America what to be doing for Ukraine. If you could play that.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm in Kyiv, just on the outskirts of the city on the west side, and we've had a lot of shelling today. And we're close to one of the city airports, so the anti-aircraft batteries go off pretty frequently. Unfortunately, a lot of times in life, it's a tragedy or a crisis that drives people to think about God or even to consider God in certain cultures and backgrounds. And I think there's more people praying now than maybe in a lot of countries than have before. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity when people begin to reflect on life and what it means. They realize work means nothing. They realize what they have is nothing, because they lose it pretty quick. What do you have left? You have life. So I think there's millions that are reflecting on what is that life? What does that mean? What's afterlife? And I think that's going to be the opportunity that we have most of all, to relieve personal suffering is necessary and good and great, but there's a place in each of our hearts that only God can fill, and a lot of people fill it with a lot of counterfeits, things that they think it feels good, this cause or that cause, or I don't want to name any causes because it would step on some toes, but everybody finds a counterfeit if they're trying to avoid God. They have that yearning, but they feel it. Right now, all those feelings have been ripped away. And they have to face that question, what about God? So I think that's our opportunity. Meet the physical need, and in doing so, empower ourselves to meet the spiritual need of, what about God?
David, could you come? Church, yes, please. I don't know what your opinion is about the end times, but I have grown up in church all my life, and I remember my parents telling me, I remember my grandparents telling me, my parents telling me, we're living in the last days. And now I hear myself telling me the same thing. We're in a world that is becoming increasingly fractured, hurt, suffering. And we have the answer. We may be in those last days. What matters right now is not how great your house is, how great your job is, your vehicle, but the impact of the gospel upon this world. Satan blinds us to those things. He puts so many material things in front of us, and I'm not faulting anybody. It happens to me and my family as well. We get sidetracked, and we start focusing on things, and we lose understanding, saying, really, really, 2 seconds inside of heaven, what's it all going to matter? And I myself, and probably many of you, we're going to have some regrets. And we're going to say, I wish I did more. I wish I invested more. I wish I prayed more. I wish I went on that missions trip. I wish I helped the church on this project, and we could have done more. And I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to say you're not doing enough. But I want you to look within your heart and see maybe what God is maybe asking you to do more. There's one opportunity. I'll show you this picture here. And that's this church in Cherkasy, Pastor Benjamin's church. We helped him buy this building. We helped him secure a loan to buy this building 18 months ago. He's been renovating it as money has come available. He still has lots of renovations to do. There's 3 floors in it. But in Cherkasy, it's 600,000 people. And in this particular neighborhood is about 40,000 people, no evangelical church but this one. And so he has a tremendous opportunity. And so this morning, we're going to take an offering. Your giving is going to go and help Andre in some part, and it's also going to go and help in this home, in this church in Cherkasy. We need literally about $110,000 to get everything finished at this church. But little by little, God is calling people to partner with us. And God is doing some amazing things. But this morning, maybe that's part of you stepping out of your comfort zone financially. Maybe it's a commitment to ministries in the church. Maybe it's commitment to praying more for the countries. Maybe it's getting involved more in evangelistic outreach. God has so much for us to do, and he's depending on us to do it. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Respond. Give everything you've got, because the days are shorter and shorter. Time is shorter and shorter. And now is the only opportunity we have. Thank you, church. Thank you for your faithfulness in partnering with us, being with us. Thank you for what you're doing for the gospel around the world. God bless you.